Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal, Jay Greason, Wells Guthrie producing the show. Hoping everybody out there is having a safe and fantastic Friday given these circumstances. It is a pleasure to welcome in to Press Row Jason Stark, the senior baseball writer at The Athletic. Also does work with the MLB Network. He's very good at what he does. Jason, thank you so much for taking some time out. How are you doing today?
David, I'm doing well. I mean, it's not an easy question to answer in these strange times, but I'm doing well. How are you guys?
We are hanging in there. What was it like for you yesterday waking up with no opening day?
Yeah, there was definitely an emptiness, as you would expect. I love baseball. I love opening day. You know, I especially love the feeling of opening day. You know, just that feeling of joy and hope, and always sitting there in those ballparks every opening day wondering, what great stuff are we going to get to see this year? What lies ahead? And I really missed that. I missed the teams lining up on the baselines. I missed, you know, I missed seeing fans file into the park feeling the same stuff that we feel. I missed all of that. You could tell that I missed it because, you know, that opening day at home thing that MLB ran, I watched three different games.
All right, and Jason, I know this probably isn't fair because you don't claim to be a COVID expert, but in your discussions, because you've got a lot more access than we do, there have been so many models out there. I think ESPN last night even threw out a 32-game season in September where everybody would play every team in your division eight times. Do you have a best guess at what this 2020 season could look like?
Well, I did write about this in The Athletic the other day, but what the schedule could turn out to be. And let's just say this. Nobody has any answers.
Right.
Like, I can think of a billion questions. There may be, like, three answers. Okay? So if you could tell me whether the season's going to be 140 games or 100 games or 80 games or 60 games or 32 games or whatever that was, that would help. Nobody knows. I mean, I don't know when my next purchase of toilet paper is coming, let alone the next time I'm going to see a baseball game. So we've got all that to try to sort out. I can tell you that the hopeful thinking from Major League Baseball is that whenever it's safe to get going again, they would pick up the season wherever they were on the calendar. July 1st, and I don't have it in front of me, but the Braves are hosting the Mets. That's what they would do. And then they'll tack on games in the end, and they'll tweak to just make sure everybody plays the same number of games, home games, road games, neutral site games, whatever it turns out to be. But if we get down to the point where it's not possible to play before, like, September, then I think you might need a whole different concept.
You know, and this is just kind of an opinion question for you. When you see stuff thrown out about 30-something game models, the first thing I think of is Atlanta won 97 games last year, but I want to say they were 18-20 after 38 games. What in your mind just kind of makes a legitimate season to you? How many games
do you
have?
That's a really important question. Really important. I don't think that anything under 81 games, half a season, is a real season. I use example of the Braves. How about the Nationals?
Mm-hmm.
The Nationals weren't going to win the World Series if the season was even 80 games. They don't even make the playoffs after 80 games unless we're going to let 20 teams in. If the season gets shorter than that, then everything's weird. You know, you can't play a fair and equitable schedule. The Braves schedule might look totally different than the Philly schedule or the National schedule. If a team has a couple of early injuries, there's no time to recover from that. I just don't think that's a season. And so, you know, one of the ideas that Ken Rosenthal and I had advanced to us by one front office guy that we talked to earlier in the week was, this tournament idea that you just mentioned, let's do a series of tournaments. You can do you start with an NL East tournament. Every division plays a 2-week round robin like the WBC. Then you have a whole National League and American League tournament. Then you have a big 30-team championship tournament. You might have a loser's bracket in there somewhere. But so that would recognize we can't have a season, but it's still important to play. Whether any of that stuff's feasible, I don't know, but it's not normal, so we shouldn't be just sitting back thinking of normal-type ideas.
You're listening to Jason Stark, senior baseball writer at The Athletic, also contributes to the MLB Network. You're listening to Jason here on Press Row on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.
Jason, thanks so much for taking the time. I read what you and Ken put together earlier this week with some of the seven-inning. I think that's the first place I saw the seven-inning doubleheader idea. If there is a hybrid season, how explorative would baseball be at a lot of these rule changes or fundamental changes that we've been bouncing around to kind of embrace the younger fans in a season that will never be like any other?
Yeah, I think a lot of this has a chance to happen, you know, just depending on where we go from here, when it's possible to play again, what the circumstances are that surround us on every level. And, you know, the seven-inning games and doubleheaders, the reason to do something like that is, you know, they're going to try to cram as many games as they possibly can into the tightest window they've ever crammed them. And so in order to protect pitchers, just playing seven-inning games during doubleheaders, or maybe one nine-inning game, one seven-inning game, that's a thing that makes sense. And I don't like it as a long-term strategy, but this year is different. So think about it. The minor league extra-inning tiebreaker rule, which you guys would be familiar with, this would be a year to maybe try that out, because we don't want to have a 17-inning game that blows out your bullpen when you're trying to play so many games in such a short period of time. You know, I think players have indicated they're prepared to play doubleheaders. They're prepared to waive the rule where you can only play a certain number of days in a row. They're prepared to waive travel rules. They're willing to do what it takes to play as many games as possible. So putting that runner on second base in extra innings, you could have that happen and everybody get a look at it. There's so many ways to go in a year like this. And again, the thinking is, whatever word you want to use to describe this season, normal is not going to be it.
Right.
So this could be a time to think outside the box and try stuff. And what Ken and I heard before we wrote that piece is, everything's on the table, nothing's off the table.
Wow. Interesting. I've got a bigger picture question, and then I've got a personal question, but I'm gonna ask a personal one. What was it like getting the honor from the Hall of Fame last summer and being up there and delivering a speech in baseball's most hallowed grounds?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it was amazing, but amazing doesn't begin to describe it. That was memories for a lifetime, and not just for me, for so many family and friends and people who came to Cooperstown to help us celebrate. We had over 100 people, family and friends, that came just for me. It was the coolest thing ever. And then the other thing was just the way I was treated by the greatest players who ever lived was special and unforgettable from beginning to end. From the moment Wade Boggs walked up to me in the Otisaga Hotel at the bar Thursday night and said, "Welcome to the club," right to the very end, waiting to go on stage on that Sunday afternoon at the Clark Athletic Center when Mariano Rivera and Mike Messina and I stood there and talked about nerves and speeches and all the crazy stuff that your family tells you to do. And from beginning to end, that was just the most amazing time, I think, in my career. But the great part was sharing it with so many people that I love.
That is really cool. My question would be, Dave and I are both Dodgers fans. Don't ask us how we ended up in the South being Dodgers fans. With all the pieces they moved for Mookie Betts and all the chips they pushed in, and with the clock now ticking on free agency, are the Dodgers your front runner for, if this season is cashed, the biggest loser in all this?
If there's no season?
Yes, sir.
I mean, to make that huge a trade and then have that guy never play a game,
right?
It'd be one of the all-timers, right? They're probably the biggest favorite in baseball if we have a season. But if the way you put it to me, are they the favorite to be the biggest loser in this or any year? They would have to be. I mean, I understand that there's real life stuff going on right now, but within just a baseball framework, absolutely. Wait, now you're both Dodger fans.
Yes, sir.
Now, I lived in L.A. when I was little, so I was a big Lakers, Showtime Lakers guy, and a big Los Angeles Rams fan as well. So I've adopted all the L.A. teams.
My dad was a Yankees fan, and I was falling in love with baseball in 77, 78, and you had to go on the other side of who your old man was rooting for.
Okay, well, those are good explanations. We're gonna go with those.
You're listening to Jason Starton. Does a great job as senior baseball writer at The Athletic. Also contributes to the MLB Network. Jason, I don't know how much you delved into this. It was certainly a storyline before all this happened, but the talk of contracting some minor league teams, with one of the most notable ones being the Chattanooga Lookouts. Do you have any update on where something like that might stand?
Yeah, that whole thing has been put on hold for now just because of the bigger issues that everybody in baseball is dealing with and everybody in the world is dealing with. That'll roar back to light at some point. And, you know, one thing that came out of that agreement last night between the owners and players is a draft that will only be 5 rounds. And there are reasons for that, financial reasons, because in a year where no revenues or very limited revenues, teams are going to be hesitant to try to pay off an entire draft cast. But think of the ramifications for the minor leagues if teams are only adding a handful of players with potential contraction of the minor leagues ahead. It feels like you can connect those dots. We don't know where this is leading. But I think there's going to be a compromise out there somewhere. But whether it's going to be enough to save the Chattanooga Lookouts as we've come to know and love them, it's really hard to know right now.
Interesting. Jason, listen, when we have great guests like you, we love to close with a rapid fire, first thing off the top of the head. Ready to play?
Sure.
All right. 2 years ago, the Braves won 90. Last year, the Braves won 97. Before all this mess happened, how many games were you pegging the Braves to win?
I thought 100. Love that team.
Your favorite player to interview ever?
Oh, God. That's really hard.
Is your least favorite to interview easier?
I'm going to go with Jim DeShays, just because everybody who watches Cubs games knows how smart and funny he is.
Right.
I'll go with him, but it's a long list. My all-interview team's a long list.
All right, Jason, the deeper this all goes, the quicker you've got to start studying teams that might be surprises in the shorter run. I mean, if we're looking at a 40- or 50-game season, who are a couple of teams that may be better built for the short run than the long run?
Yeah, that's harder to answer than it seems because we don't know what the schedule is going to look like. My first instinct is to say the Nationals because they lost Anthony Rendon and there's going to be more weight on their rotation and their staff than ever. And the fewer innings they have to pitch, the more time they have to recover from that postseason, better off they are.
Do you miss the trivia questions with Mike and Mike? Because I know that I missed it. It was a great weekly staple.
That was so fun. It was like being in this continuous loop cartoon, wasn't it?
It was great.
Well, we all knew how it was going to turn out, but we did it anyway. I revived the question for my appearances on MLB Central and MLB Network, but that whole Mike and Mike shtick where they would just agonize and fight and yell at each other, who doesn't miss that?
Right.
Jason, what are you binge-watching in the absence of baseball?
We just blitzed through Curb Your Enthusiasm and Homeland. You guys got any tips?
Curb's a good one. Tiger King's the latest rage on Netflix.
I know.
Have you seen The Wire, right?
We started to watch The Wire. I have to admit, my wife is not a big fan of violence, so we had to quit on that. It's still I'm still frustrated about that.
So she's not a Game of Thrones fan.
I can't watch because she won't watch them.
She's not Game of Thrones a fan then.
She refused to watch Game of Thrones till we got to the end, and I said we're going to watch it. I dragged her through it.
All right, this one's easy. Your favorite baseball movie?
I'm a Bull Durham guy.
Amen.
Just funny, realistic, great cast.
Jason, listen, we don't have baseball season, but we have the next best thing with you. Thank you for providing 15 minutes of fun here on Press Row in Chattanooga. I know our listeners appreciate it.
Thanks, Ben. I really enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
All righty. Jason Stark, senior baseball writer at The Athletic, also does work for MLB Network. Fantastic at what he does. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.